that we are extending our hearts, our minds, our lives, everything that we are to you in worship and praise, because you are worthy. Your Son, Jesus, is worthy. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the one who sits on the throne, the one who was slain, the one who died for our sins, so that we might have a relationship with you. Thank you, God, for an opportunity to sing and to worship and to give you praise. We recognize that in times such as this, we want to express our gratitude and our thanks as we just come off of the time of year that we call Thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for not only the amazing things that you do and that you, who you are, but for providing life for us, breath, and just the very existence of who we are. But thank you also for family and for friends and for a church family that are people that we can count on, people that we can know will support us and provide help for us when we're in need, because we are a family, God, that is so good. But also, God, thank you for the ways that you work in our lives. You bring us healing. You heal the emotional wounds, the physical wounds, the things that go on in us that are just difficult. You work in miraculous ways. But we also know, Lord, that we can bring our requests, our things that we ask of you to your feet and know that you will work. You are a faithful God. You've been faithful through the ages and you continue to do so even today. And for that, God, we express our gratitude and our thanks. So thank you, God, for that. God, today as we continue on in our worship and our opportunities to engage with the Bible, your word, will you give us insight? Will you help our eyes to see what you desire us to see? Will you speak to us as well? Holy Spirit, fill us with your presence. Guide us. Direct us. And Lord, as we worship, may you be lifted up as you're supposed to be. And so, God, we thank you for all these things, and we pray all of this in your Son's name, the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good to see everybody here. It's a it's always a fun time of year when we get to this week, because we don't know if we're going to jump into Christmas or if we're going to still talk about Thanksgiving, and I'm not doing either one today. Okay. It's interesting that we run into this time of year and we're really excited about what is coming, but we sometimes forget what just happened, and that was Thanksgiving. And I hope that you were very much thankful this week. I hope that you got plenty of turkey. If you didn't get turkey, that you got something else that was tasty. If not, then we need to talk to the cook and figure out what's going on. But we're certainly glad that you are here today. If you have utilized the QR code, you can do so today. If not, you can catch it at any point in time throughout the day today. But we wanted to just share a number of things that are going on here at Living Hope this week that we want you to be aware of. But first of all, we're just really glad that you're here today. It's always a joy to worship together. And so thank you so much for being here. First up, on Wednesday, we are going to be having our grab-and-go meals. Again, I think I had that slide up. Yes, that's going to be happening this Wednesday at 6 o'clock, grab-and-go meals. That's for any of our folks that show up for Hope Kids or youth group and parents along with that. So please feel free to come get a meal, eat, and hang out with your kids. And then after at 6:30, we have Hope Kids that is for our kids that are age about 4 to 5th grade. That'll start at 6:30, and our youth ministry for our older kids will begin at 6:30 as well, and that includes our middle school and high school students. Along with that, parents, we're not leaving you out. There is an opportunity for you as well, a parents' life group that will meet about 6:30 as well. And so we've got a lot of stuff going on Wednesday. This Wednesday is a big deal, and we want you to be aware of all of that. Everybody good with me? Fantastic. Super. I saw like 2 head shakes. That was really good. The other thing that we want to let you know about is that beginning on December 1st, we are going to be having an opportunity for our devotional, our Bible app devotional. And this is going to be the theme this year. It is Christmas encouragement. So here's the deal. Here's how this works. On December 1st, I will send out a blanket invitation through the Bible app to anyone that friends me on, that sounds funny, because I'm going to send it just to Living Hope people. So if you are interested in being a part of this devotional, all you have to do is through your Bible app, find me, Chopper Brown, and I will accept your friendship, and we will be friends for life, and then we will have a devotional that we can work through on December 1st up to Christmas Day. It's about a 5 to 10 minute reading in the morning with some encouragement and then a couple of verses of scripture. And then we have an opportunity to interact together as a church body through the app. So if that is complete gibberish to you, but you have the Bible app and you want to know if you can be a part of this, I will gladly help you out with it or find somebody else. Ask somebody, hey, can you help me out with the Bible app? I want to be in that devotional. And someone will help you. But it's a really simple way to join in and have some Christmas encouragement this month that begins on December 1st. So that's Thursday. And if you have any questions, catch me afterwards. Also, next Sunday, we are going to be walking into the church, and it'll be Christmas decorated. I'm really excited about all that, and I hope that you are as well. But we will have a tree that will be located right outside of the sanctuary, and that tree is what we call the giving tree. On that tree, beginning next week, will be ornaments, and on that ornament will be a list or an item. And if you would be interested in taking an ornament, you can take that ornament, purchase that item, and then in a couple of weeks, we'll bring all those items back together, and we're going to give them to families in our community, specifically at Nixon Elementary. And I tell you what, I am really excited about this opportunity because one of the families that we're going to be partnering with are refugees. And that's a really neat opportunity for us to help a family that is from a different country and is just in need. So I'm really excited about that, and I hope that you will be as well. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for you to get those items, get those ornaments, and then bring the items back later on towards the middle of the month, and we will just be able to bless people in our community. How cool of an opportunity that we have for that. So if you have any questions, I would be glad to help out with any questions that you might have about that, but look forward to that next week. We've been doing this for a number of years, probably 10 plus years, that we have been able to just provide for people in our community. It's been about the last 5 or 6 years where we've been able to help out specifically with Nixon Elementary. You know that we have a great relationship with that school. But what you also get to be a part of is the blessing that God wants to do in our community and in their lives. How cool that we get to do that and be the hands and feet of Jesus. So thank you in advance for what you're doing. And I really am thankful for all that you get to do and we get to do as a church body. Can we do one thing and just express some gratitude to some people in our church body? They might not all be here today, but for the last many summer months, We're no longer in summer. We just went from fall yesterday to winter today. But we've had people that have been working tirelessly out in our yard, where now we can add some other things to the list. We've had people that have mowed and have trimmed weeds and have pulled weeds and have mowed leaves. And now we're having people that are shoveling snow and putting salt on there so that we don't fall, and mopping in the hallway and making sure that everything is safe. Can we just express a little bit of gratitude for those folks that do that? Thank you so very much for that, because they do jobs that sometimes we don't get to recognize, and thank them for that. So thank you so very much for that. Today, we're going to dismiss our children for Children's Church, and so they can be dismissed and meet their leaders in the back. So that's our kids ages 4 to 5th grade today, and they will have Children's Church right now. Psalms 5:3. Out of the King James Version, says this: "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up." How many of you, as I'm reading that, you're like, King James Version, finally, Pastor reads from the King James Version. If my mom was here, she'd be like, yes, that's me. That is. From the NIV, it says, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay down my requests before you with expectantly and wait expectantly." I have a spelling error in my translation. Why do I put these two verses on? These two verses basically say the same thing, because they are the same verse, just different versions of this passage of Scripture. "But in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay down my requests before you and wait expectantly." Specifically, focus in on the word expectantly, or look. Looking at a couple of different versions of the Bible is something that I like to do from time to time. And the reason for that is because sometimes you catch a different nuance in that particular verse when you read a different version. Many times I'm reading the NIV and the New Living Translation or some of the modern versions, because I like the way the language changes and allows us to draw perspective. But today I wanted to look at these two words, because I wanted to dive into the Hebrew for just a little bit. And the word expectantly is not... It doesn't translate to Hebrew very well. I didn't realize that could really mess up my entire message. But when I looked at the King James Version, it says the word look. Now, a couple of things about this particular word is that it means to lean forward. It means to peer into the distance, to observe and wait and behold, almost to watch. Now, that doesn't come as a surprise to us, does it? Because when we see the word look, that's kind of the way that we see that. But the word also has within it the expectation, to behold, to see and wait expectantly. You see, in the Hebrew, this is the only time that I could find that this word, and I'm not going to pronounce it in Hebrew because I will butcher it, but basically, it's the only time that this word is used in the Old Testament. Now, I could have missed some others, but we're going to say that's the only time it's used. But what we're talking about today is that there is something active to our view, our expectation. Expectation at its best is not passive. When you expect something, you're kind of excited about it. You're kind of wanting something to happen. And that's what the psalmist is kind of communicating in this passage of scripture, where the psalmist, the guy who wrote this psalm, King David, he is doing something. He is interacting with God in the morning. He is speaking to God in prayer to God, and he lays down all of his requests to the God of heaven, and he is waiting for the response. Now, how do you do waiting, expecting? I'm going to borrow a chair really quick. If you were expecting something to happen, how would you sit in a chair? Would you sit with your legs crossed and, oh, nice, and I can't do that today. Rode in a car for too long the last couple of days. Would you sit there kind of like this and just kind of, is this an expectation type of posture? What about like I do when I watch football? And not because the Broncos are bad, but if I'm expecting something, do you think I'm reclining in a chair? Probably not. If I'm expecting something, do you think I'm just kind of, sometimes I do this because I have short legs and chairs are tall and that my feet don't always hit the ground. So I hear laughter over here. That's not very nice to laugh at the pastor and his short legs. But sometimes I sit there like this because that makes me feel taller. No, it just makes my feet not dangle. That's really what it is. So sometimes I sit like this because that's comfortable. But if I'm really expecting something to happen, I'm probably sitting like this. This fall, I got to watch the Minnesota Twins be in the playoffs. And I'll be honest with you, for quite a bit of the game, I didn't sit down because I was too excited about what was going on. But when I did sit, I sat at the edge of my seat because I was expecting something to happen. When you sit and you watch a movie and the movie has just enraptured you and you're excited about what's going on, unless you're sitting at the movie theater where they have those reclining seats, you're kind of sitting there and you're kind of like kind of excited. You're kind of pumped about what's going on. There's an excitement to you. And you're almost leaning in and expecting something big to happen. This is the type of thing that this psalmist is talking about. He's talking about how when he brings his requests to God, he's bringing them and waiting expectantly. He's expecting that God is going to work, that God is going to do something. And so he's peering into the distance, looking to see what God is going to do almost. Maybe he's peering into his heart because he's praying about what's going on in his life, but he's expecting that something is going to happen. Today, it's no secret, we're going to talk about expectation. And I think that one of the things that we need to realize is that we need to be not passive in our expectation of God. Not sitting and waiting in the sense that we don't expect anything is going to happen, but that we believe that something is going to happen. It's kind of like the other night when I was watching an Iowa women's basketball game. And I saw that they were playing against an unranked team. And so I just assumed that they were going to win. And I just kind of sat there and didn't expect that the whole team was going to be completely off and that they weren't going to play very good and that they were going to lose. They bounced back the next game. But when we get into expectations, when we get into assumptions, sometimes we get caught off guard. And that's an okay thing. But what's our posture in the midst of it? What expectations do you have about your life? Do you have expectations that life is going to be smooth sailing because that's the way life is going to be? Probably not, because life is hard, isn't it? Do you anticipate that because you're a good person, that life is what life will be good? Well, life is not always good. Do you have expectations about your work? Are they realistic expectations? Do you have expectations about your friendships, about your marriage, about your raising your kids? Let's turn it real for just a moment, but do you have expectations about your relationship with Jesus? What kind of expectations do you have for him in that relationship? Would it resemble that of the psalmist where you're waiting and expecting him to work, or do you have little or no expectations that anything at all will change? I want to look at four different stories that kind of challenge us a little bit this morning to look at some of the expectations that were going on in these stories and how what did happen wasn't what they expected to happen completely. So in Acts chapter 3, there's a story of a crippled man at the gate. He's begging for money, and he's looking to get some food. And Peter and John walk by this man, and Peter and John give him something completely different that he wasn't expecting. Acts 3:3-8 says, "When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, 'Look at us.' So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk." He expected that Peter and John and maybe some other people, that when they came in that day into the community, into the temple gates, that they would give him something, some coins, maybe some cash, so he could get some food. The expectation wasn't healing that particular day. He was hoping just for something that would make a difference in his belly, not in the rest of his life. John 5, there's another crippled man that is laying by the pool, a pool called Bethesda. He'd been attempting to get into the pool when the waters were stirred, but Jesus and the disciples encounter him, and he's looking for help. But Jesus shows him that healing can be discovered elsewhere. And here's what the passage says in John 5:6-8. "When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, 'Do you want to get well?' 'Sir,' the invalid replied, 'I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Get up, pick up your mat and walk.' At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked." The expectation was, at least in that particular period of time, that when the water of the pool was stirred, that it was an angel that was reaching down and stirring up the water, and that anyone who got into the water first would be healed. Now, that sounds kind of funny in our today's world, doesn't it? It sounds interesting. But the expectation was that if you got there, you would be healed. But this man had never had the help that he needed to get into the water. So maybe he was wondering, will this person, Jesus, stay with me until the water is stirred? And when it is stirred, help me get into it. Maybe that was his expectation. But maybe he was also caught off guard when he did receive help, but of a different kind. John 4, there's an encounter with a woman. She's at a well in the midday, the hottest time of the day, and she has something that is, and that's unique for a number of reasons, but she has a history, and Jesus encounters her, and her life is unfolded, and numerous relationships have impacted her in a variety of ways, because relationship was where she was looking for satisfaction, but all she was left with was emptiness. And Jesus shows her something more. So we're going to look at this passage of scripture. It's lengthy. It says, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Jews and Samaritans didn't interact at all. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is that you've had five husbands, and the man you are not now have is not your husband. What you've just said is quite true." And the woman replies, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Now the story continues, and it is another portion of that. But what I wanted you to catch is that this woman comes to the well not expecting to see anyone, probably because she'd never seen anyone normally at that well at that particular time of the day. She was kind of ostracized. She was left by herself because of her lifestyle, let alone that a Jewish man would actually talk to her. And then that Jewish man was greater than a prophet, but Jesus, the Messiah. She didn't expect that she would be talked to. She didn't expect that she'd encounter anybody. And she didn't expect that this person would have any type of significance whatsoever. Final example is this, is that in Mark 5, there's a woman who's been suffering for 12 years. Doctors are called and nothing changes. They were supposed to help. She's reaching for anything to help. And she hears about Jesus and she really is only reaching out for any type of help she can get. And she touches the hem of his clothes. Just to reach out. She spent all the money she has on healing, but Jesus shows her something else. Mark 5:27 through 30. 27 through 30. There's a zero missing. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing that what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembled with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." She has the expectation that the doctors that she's paying is going to help, but nothing helped. She has the expectation that if she just gets close enough to Jesus, that if she barely touches his clothes, she would be healed. What she didn't expect is that she would get caught, that Jesus would know that she had received healing. You see any similarities throughout these stories? Yes, there's healing of some sort. Yes, there's the power of God doing miraculous work. And we could even talk about the time frame in which these people had these issues. Some of them were born into the issues. Some of them received these situations later. But the real connection is these expectations that these people had. The first man expected money. Money to meet his needs and maybe the next meal. He didn't expect to be healed that day. The second expected help, help to get into the pool. He knew that healing could come, but all he wanted was help to get into the water. He didn't expect that the healing would come without the water. The woman at the well, living with the expectations that relationships would satisfy, she didn't expect that a Jewish man and Messiah would actually show her true relationship. And the last story, she expected healing if only she touched his clothes. She didn't expect that it would be her faith that healed her. And she didn't expect to get caught. For some reason, you and I, we have similar expectations. We have expectations when it comes to our everyday lives, and we have expectations when it comes to Jesus and our relationship with him. It may not line up directly. It may not line up that we have this expectation of healing, that we have this expectation that we would place on Jesus or on others, but we have expectations. But how are we approaching Jesus? Are we approaching him like we're sitting in a recliner and snoozing? Or are we actively expecting that Jesus is going to work? You see, I think and I believe that, just based on my own life, is that I can be kind of passive in my expectations, in my relationship, in my work, in my life, and I can just kind of cruise. Anybody else with me on that? Sometimes we can just get a little passive. We can be looking to lowball things. You know what I mean by that? It's kind of like when you go to buy a new car and you throw out the most low possible number so that you can maybe get a good deal. When I've traveled abroad, like to Guatemala or Brazil, and we end up at a market, and you're thinking, oh man, this mug, that they're asking $5 for that. I'll throw out $2.50 and maybe I'll get that. Obviously, they don't use $2.50, but you get the point. Throw out the low ball. Sometimes we do that with God, where we know what we need, as far as we need the strength to get through this really tough day that is going to approach us. And we just are like, yeah, God, will you just work in this way? And we lowball God with our request. What if we stopped holding back? Or sometimes we even skirt around the issues, the real issues. And we can have this plan to go unseen and just kind of hide behind the scenes and not do what we're supposed to do. We can be like these four different characters in the Bible. But if we were to hold up these four stories, what are some things that we could learn? First is this, is that our expectations shape our relationship. How we posture ourselves based on our expectation matters. This has the ability to shape how we will experience Jesus. If we come to our relationship with Jesus not expecting to experience the power that he has within him to impact us in any way, we might not experience his power, that life-changing power of Jesus that he has for freedom, for victory, for change. If we're going and approaching the Lord of all creation with zero expectation that he can do anything, do you think we will experience the fullness of who he is? If that's how we're going to approach him, might as well sit in the recliner and just snooze away and let life pass us by. But if we're encountering Jesus with the expectation that he is and he will and he can work, and we're looking for it and we're excited about what he's going to do, you think that changes a little bit? Maybe it doesn't necessarily change the way that God is going to work. That's up to him. It's always up to him. But if we're just going through the motions, you think we'll see the thumbprints of God? Our relationship with Jesus is not a passive relationship. It is an active one. We have an opportunity to come to him, to spend time with him in prayer and worship, to seek him and find him and know that he will move, that he will act, someone that's relationship that we can have with him when we expect to see him work. Someone that I really respect once wrote and has written in a number of his books that says that we should pray like it all depends on Jesus and then work like it depends on us, in the sense that we just know that it's all about him, but we do our part as well because it's a relationship. It's a two-party thing. God, the triune God, and us doing our part. We have a part to play in all this. The second thought is this, is cut out the excuses. The man that was sitting next to the pool of Bethesda had the best excuse. It was true. He couldn't get there fast enough. But we sometimes love to throw out excuses on why we don't have the expectations of God going to work and why this and why that. And the Lord of heaven and earth is here, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That is Jesus. He's the one that we're talking about today. So let's cut out the excuses and expect that he will work, that he will heal. The miracle will happen. The power of God's Spirit will move. If he can do it then, he can do it now. And it's possible that Jesus will move in spite of our excuses. That's up to him. Absolutely, he can. But I don't think I want to live in a life where I'm making excuses on why not I'm anticipating that God is going to work. I don't want to live that way. And maybe you don't either. Third thought is this, is engage your faith. Like the woman who only wanted to reach the clothes of Jesus, Jesus said that it was her faith that healed her, not her hands, not touching the clothes, but it was her faith that Jesus could and that Jesus would. What if you engaged your faith like this over the next month? What would your life look like if you engaged your faith like that over the next couple of days? Would you be willing to prioritize things that you know are spiritually necessary, but somehow they always seem to take a back seat to other things? Let me get a little specific. Would you be willing over the next month to participate in the Bible app devotional with me? 25 days. Would you be willing just to engage? just to connect, just to have an opportunity to set your mind on the right things, the right time every day so that you are moving in the right direction so that you can expect that God is going to work. Because at this time of year, what we end up doing sometimes is we get so distracted with so many other things and we forget about what really matters. First things first. One other question. Would you dare to trust Jesus for the things that you can and can't control? If that's what you're willing to do, engage your faith. Engage your faith and reach out for him. The last thought is this, and this connects to our very first verse of the day, and that is to lean forward and look up. Lean forward and look up. Yes, we haven't crossed the threshold into December yet, where the hustle and the bustle is really active, but would we be willing to expect that when we celebrate Christmas, we're doing more than just expecting a baby to be born, but we're expecting that the God of all humanity is coming again. We're not just looking at the first advent, we're looking at the second advent. That is that Jesus will return someday. But we need to come with the expectation that he is going to work in our midst. And we can only do that when we lean in. We expect that he is going to do something. So what if we entered into this next season of our lives with the expectation that we would spiritually thrive, that we would spiritually grow and see what God has in store for us? I think we would have not just an amazing Christmas, but that we would be thriving as we enter into the new year, that we would be thriving as we gain the experience of God working in us. Great things happen in the heart of those who hold fast to faith, peace, and gratitude, all mixed up with an essential dose of expectant hope. And a person that I really respect, she says this, Susie Larson, though God answers our prayers in different ways than expected, he will answer. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He hears you. He knows you. Will we expect that he will move and that he will work? And we leave the details up to him. But we expect to see him working. Let's pray. Father, God of heaven, Lord of all creation, thank you. Thank you that we can have this relationship that we have with you that is good, that is also full of your grace and your mercy. God, we've looked at stories of healing and stories of great connection to the beginnings of relationship with you. But we also recognize that you exceed our expectations in many different ways. But God, we pray that we would have this ability to lean in and to look up and to peer into the distance of what you are going to be doing and how you are going to bring healing and how you are going to work in our midst to help us spiritually, to help grow us the way that you want us to live. So God, give us the wisdom that we need. And may we not walk through this life that we live passively, but that we would actively be pursuing you with our whole heart. God, give us that strength. Give us that wisdom. We thank you for the many things that you do that we sometimes don't see, but we thank you for the things that we do get to see and know that you have changed us drastically. Thank you for those victories, God. We pray all these things with gratitude and thanksgiving. And in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much for worshiping with us today and for being at church. You could have done a lot of different things, but you're here today in spite of the snow. So thank you so very much. Let's stand together and we'll close out our time with worship.